And maybe you're here today and the Lord is saying, hold on. You're going to go into your deepest valley, the deepest valley you've ever been in. But you know, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you get on your face, you get on your knees and you weep before the Lord, He hears our prayers because of His love, His grace, and His mercy.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, it's great to have you along today for our continuing study of 1 Samuel. Today, as Raul highlights the faith that drove one young man to take on a vast army almost single-handedly, he'll urge you to fully entrust your future to God. You'll discover that when you step out in hope-filled boldness, you can be confident that the Lord will equip you to face life's obstacles and bless you with unexpected victories. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, here's Raul Reese.
This morning's lesson, I guess, it was maybe for me. The title of the message, Adventure of Faith. In chapter 1, we saw Hannah. They couldn't get pregnant, finally got pregnant, had a son by the name of Samuel, asked of God. I prayed, I asked, and now He gave me a baby boy. God had answered her prayer because there was a need for a leader. God waited for the perfect time. So what she does, she wings him, and then she takes her to the temple, drops him off. And in chapter 3, it says he was probably about 12 years old. He's sweeping the area in the temple. And the Lord comes at night and says, Samuel, Samuel, three times. He goes to Eli. Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. The fourth time when he comes to Eli, Eli says, you know what? You hear the voice of God. When you go back to bed, say, here am I. Speak, Lord. And God spoke a message of judgment. Samuel had never heard the voice of God. Never in his life. Never. He was a sweeper in the temple. And God began to share with him. And God made him a leader in Israel. He became a prophet too. And here in this chapter, it's a very interesting chapter because now Samuel not only is already an adult, but he comes to that place in his own personal life that he comes to not only give the message that now Jonathan is the character. And Jonathan is Saul's son. Jonathan would have become the king of Israel. David became the king of Israel because Saul had sinned against God, so his son could not be the king. David became the king. And Jonathan and David became great friends. And Saul the father was jealous of Jonathan and David. Jealous. Many times we may see our children with great friends that are in the Lord. And maybe they have a greater relationship than we have. And it bothers us. And that happens with friends too. You see, we're not in control. The Lord is in control of our lives for every one of us here. He's in control. The way to keep a relationship with God is to keep reading the Bible, keep praying, keep attending a church that will feed your soul, your spirit. And when you do that, then we become like Jonathan. We become like David. We become like Samuel. As I was reading the lesson this week, I was thinking about Samuel and Saul and then Jonathan, a man of God. His father was a phony. He lied. He cheated. And then he hated people. He hated David because he saw God in his life. And maybe you've seen somebody in your life and you become jealous of them or you become bitter because you're not like them. Well, God never wanted you to be like anybody else. He wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to be like the Lord. We should always want to be like Jesus. Become imitators of the Lord, imitating him. How do we become imitators? Well, by reading the Bible, wanting to do what God says in his word, then people can see there's something different about me than other people. You see? Different than other people. And when they see something different, then they can believe in Jesus Christ. But the problem is they don't see Christ in my life, so how can I tell them about Jesus? And if I do tell them about Jesus and they see my life, they'll say, I don't want to hear from you because you're a hypocrite. You're a phony. You want to tell me about Jesus when you don't even live about Jesus or talk about Jesus. So when I went back to the Old Testament and I was reading about Saul, why would God choose Saul? If God knew already he was a troublemaker, if God knew that the people rejected him and they chose Saul, a one that would bring the people of God into judgment and would bring them to a place where they would believe in him instead of the Lord. In chapter 13, for a second, stay in chapter 14. He says, when Saul reigned 1 year and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, in the mountains of Bethel. 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. And Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. And then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Now all of Israel heard it, and said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines. And the people were called together at Saul of Gilead. And then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the people as the sands which is in the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash, in the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed. And then the people hid in caves, in thickets and rocks, and holes of the rocks and pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan to the land of Gad in Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. So here we have the story of chapter 14 where Saul is hiding. He's trembling by a pomegranate tree. He doesn't want to go, but his son, again, Jonathan, and his armor bearer, two people, he and his armor bearer, decide without telling Saul to go ahead and let's go and try if we can defeat the enemy by ourselves. Are you kidding me? Two people against 3,000? Yeah, you're kidding me. Man, that's a real step of faith. So, they take off, they go down. Verse 1, it says, and it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come. Four times he's going to say come, invitation. Come, let us go over to the Philistines garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father Saul. Now, there are two little hills, but pretty hard to climb. The one that he wants to climb, on top of that, there's 3,000 troops, Philistines, that are coming to wipe out Israel. Below the valley is Saul with 600 men against 3,000. But here is his son leaving camp at night. He and his armor bearer, and Jonathan said, hey, let's take a leap of faith. Let's take a leap of faith. Let's see if we can wipe out the army that's up on top of that hill. He says again in verse 1, and as it happened that one day, Jonathan and son of Saul said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. So he's doing this by faith. And Saul is so dumb. Because when he finds out that his son took off with that chicken in with him, and because on his way back, Jonathan takes a little bit of honey and puts it in his mouth to get more strength, he wants to kill his son. Because he had made a rule, everyone to fast, not to eat. He wasn't even connected with God. You parents, make sure you're connected with God so you can be connected with your children to make decisions that your children are going to benefit from. But your children will see that you are a spiritual leader in your home. A spiritual leader in your home. If they don't see that, and they see you picking on your wife and doing things that you shouldn't do, and she's taking care of kids just because she's a Christian, you're taking advantage of her, be careful. God won't put up with that. When you come to know the Lord, it's exciting because now your wife is excited, your children are rejoicing. Hey, Daddy got saved, we're going to go to church together. Saul should have done that. Saul didn't do that. Jonathan had his trust in the Lord. He knew his father. Later on, Jonathan will find out that he and David become the greatest of friends. And Saul becomes jealous of David. And he wants to kill David. Because his son is great friends with David, the next king. And here, in verse 2, we see, and Saul was sitting in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. And they were not happy. They were fearful because they thought they're going to wipe us out. They're going to kill us. This is the end.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. It's our goal to help you firmly anchor your heart in the truth of God's Word. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to browse our online resource store or check out the exciting details of our Spring 2026 tour of Israel. Raul would love to have you join him. Let's continue now with more of today's study.
In verse 3, he says, and Ahaz, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, that was the temple, remember, was wearing an ephod, but the people did not know that Jonathan was gone. It was a sin. Nobody knew. He snuck out by night. And so nobody knew. And then verse 4, and between the passers-by with Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side, the second little hill. And the name of one was Boses, he says, and the name of the other was Seneth. And then he says this, the front of the one faced the north were opposite the Michmash, and the other side were opposite Gibeah. So two hills you have, a valley between. And then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, he says, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised Gentiles. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving many with few. Oh, man, I underlined that in different colors. I want to remind myself. Nothing is impossible with God, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. Here is two against 3,000. And that scripture has become part of my life. Because here he suggests, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. God, of course, works for us. He loves us. We love him. And I think that when you have your full commitment to Jesus Christ, God will work even in a greater way because he loves you. The Lord is saying to Jonathan, I will give you the victory. You step out by faith. I will give you the victory. And then in verse 7, he says, so his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. He trusted Jonathan. Jonathan, I see what you do. I see you step out by faith. And whatever you do, I want to be with you and do the same thing. Following the Lord. Following men of God. In verse 7, when he says, I am with you according to your heart. His heart was God's heart. Remember that. His heart was God's heart. He saw God in the life of who? Jonathan. Love that. The Lord's heart. Verse 8, then Jonathan said, okay, let's cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. He already had a plan to get killed. But it says this, if they say, we'll come down to you, run as fast as you can. But if they say, come up, oh man, we have to climb fast. It's rocky, it's a hard thing to climb up, but the Lord has given us over the Philistines. I love that. Let's do it. Don't wait. Let's do it. Verse 9. If they say to us, wait until we come down to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. It says, the Lord doesn't want us to go up. Verse 10. But if they say to us, hey, come up here to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hands. This will be the sign to us. Faith. Lord, we'll go if you go. What seems to be your problem today? What needs to be defeated today in your life by the Holy Spirit? Satan is your enemy. Your flesh is your enemy. There are so many things that are enemies. And this is why many times, because we allow our enemies to come against us and we're not using what the Lord says, we get defeated. But what happened to the Lord? Well, I haven't been praying. I haven't been reading. And I haven't had fellowship. Well, that will bum you out for sure. You can't just be a weekly Christian. You have to be a Christian 24/7, 365. You have to be. And I think that the Lord here this morning is a special morning, I think, for all of us. That when we leave here, that we're going to take steps of faith to fight our battles. If God is for me, who can be against me? Come on, enemy, come against me. I will defeat you. I'm not going to run. If I get defeated, I will be defeated on my knees before the Lord. And I will recognize that the Lord has allowed that in my life for a reason and for a purpose. And maybe you're here today and the Lord is saying, hold on. You're going to go into your deepest valley, the deepest valley you've ever been in. But you know, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you get on your face, you get on your knees and you weep before the Lord, He hears our prayers because of His love, His grace, and His mercy. He says, verse 9 again, if they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still, he says, in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand. This will be a sign to us. So they had a sign. The sign says, if they said, come up, then we're going to go up. The Lord wants us to destroy them. Verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, hey, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they have been hiding. They thought that all of Israel was hiding in, actually in the hills. But it was only two people. They thought it was a whole garrison coming up. It was two people that the Lord would use to show His power. Not with 1,000, 3,000, two people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be with them. That says the New Testament. Where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. And then I love, again, in verse 12. And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Verse 13, and Jonathan climbed up on his hands and on his knees as fast as he could with his armor bearer after him, right behind him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after his armor bearer to kill them, and the first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half an acre of land. Whoa. Imagine, they kill 20 men and then the rest was history. What about you today? Are you ready to wipe out your enemy? Or will your enemy wipe you out? That's between you and God. Whatever you want to do in the presence of God. I think within this church it's so awesome to see so many people that know the Lord. To see that joy and peace coming into the sanctuary. And then on the other side too, there are people that are coming and hurting. They've had a bad week or something happened in their home, among their family. And we're here together. So that we can minister to those that are bummed out. They might sit next to you. That before we leave here, we can talk to them just a little bit, pray with them a little bit, whatever it is, so we know that we have done what the Bible says, to have fellowship and pray for them. And I will conclude with this in verse 15. And there was trembling in the camp, shaking, an earthquake, in the fields among the people. The garrison of the raiders and trembled on the earth and quaked so that it was very great trembling. The Lord brought about fear. Hey, this is Jonathan, his armor bearer, but this is me. This is me. I'm going to take care of their enemy. And then A.W. Tozer says, true faith rests upon character of God. It has no further proof than the moral perfections of the one who cannot lie. Capital O, one is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
We hope that you've been inspired by the account of Jonathan's divinely ordained victory over the Philistines. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to hear today's lesson once again, titled A Venture of Faith, just call us at 800-634-9165, and for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send an unedited copy to you. We'd also like to tell you about this entire faith-building series from Raul, featuring more glimpses of the Lord's sovereign goodness. This 24-part study is titled The People's Choice Versus God's. As you think on the Lord's dealings with Samuel, Saul, and David, you'll find more reasons to fully surrender to God and fearlessly follow His leading in your life. Visit us anytime at somebodylovesyou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 24-part series titled The People's Choice Versus God's. We'll send you the CD set for $40 or the USB drive for $30. That's 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to take advantage of all of our free resources. Join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, featuring biblical guidance for a godly life. You can also download podcasts of all of these programs using iTunes or Spotify. And if you'd like to share your Bible questions and prayer requests with Raul, his email address is pastorraul@somebodylovesyou.com. Thank you for your partnership. Your tax-deductible gifts enable us to keep sharing the uplifting wisdom of God's Word. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll return to more of our study in 1 Samuel. We'll get a look at the fallout of King Saul's habitual disobedience and see that there's real danger in spiritual complacency. Here's Raul now to lead us in a closing prayer.
Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your love, your mercies, Lord. Lord, I pray for your wonderful people, Lord. I thank you so much for everything you've done, you're doing, Lord. And Lord, you will continue to do because you love us, Lord. And Lord, we want to love you so much, Jesus, that we don't want to live in the world, that we want to live with you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.